When do we start using AI so I can sound like Alan Thicke?
This is episode 461 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of March 28th through April 3rd, 2026. What's new this week? Anti-info contributions by anarchists of the Chaos Star case from Dark Knights. First-person accounts from three folks detained in Indonesia on their experiences during a time of riots in that country. There are many gems worth reading here, from the rejection of the label political prisoner in favor of anarchist prisoner to a clear antisocial stance, if society is defined as a tool of the state, to various responsibility claims and the general information about events and vibes while this resistance was going on. Quote, "We offer no hope, nor do we promise victory. What exists is the slow approach of destruction and the choice to keep burning within it. If this world is built on control, fear, and obedience, then let it collapse along with all the illusions that sustain it. From behind these bars, we ask for nothing except one thing. Never stop." Unquote. The post ends with an image of various companies to boycott or something.
An idea of freedom for Sarah and Sandro. From Act for Freedom Now by Biblioteca Anarchica de Sordin. This week has two more statements of solidarity with the two victims of an explosion in the Italian news last week. This is the first of two. Quote, "There are no heroes and heroines. There are revolutionary comrades who choose exactly where they stand and accept the risk, playing a game with the future. This is why in Sara and Sandro's gesture, we see the generosity and tenderness of who loves deeply." Unquote.
Brief update on the first day of the start of the Ampelokipi case trial from Act for Freedom Now. Details on the case that addresses the explosion that killed Kyriakos Dimitris and wounded one of the defendants, Mariana Manoura, include statements from Manoura and another defendant, Dimitra Zarafeta.
Attack responsibility upheaval from Act for Freedom Now. A solidarity action that does not adequately explain the connection between the target and the goal, but probably it's obvious to other Greeks. Quote, "States are rearming through the Rearm Europe program by purchasing new weapons, conducting joint military exercises, extending military service, etc., and are reproducing nationalist narratives to push us to the front lines of war, ready to die. We, as anarchists, aim to destroy authority. Let internationalists / anti-war movements flourish everywhere." Unquote.
With Sara and Sandrone with heads held high from Act for Freedom Now, the second of the two pieces supporting Sara and Sandrone. Seems like at the first demonstration in support of the two, 91 of the participants were detained and then released that evening. Quote, "The state and all the institutions are determined to isolate Sara and Sandro, to erase and obstruct their memory. Quite impossible, because Sara and Sandro were courageous comrades, fraternal friends, and persons too beautiful to ever be forgotten. Certain signori are convinced that locking up 90 people for hours in the immigration office in Via Patina was a good idea. The truth is that in these almost 11 hours of preventive imprisonment, it was possible to talk to the younger comrades of the value of these fallen comrades of ours, from their courage to their tenderness." Unquote. Use that forced proximity, probably even with no phones. Precious time.
Anarchists at the 2026 No Kings Rallies. From Crimethink. Reports from anarchists at two different No Kings Rallies. Lots of photos.
On future-proofing our anarchist spaces and if we should, from Debate Me Bro by M.K. Zariel. A brief but evocative reflection on which kinds of anarchist schools of thought are most or least prone to subversion by authoritarianism of various sorts, and what can be done about it. It's a nice subjective prompt, though I do have to push back at the idea that any specific anarchist school owns the quote, means/ends idea, since my understanding is that all anarchists reject the separation of means and ends.
Expression of interest. Anarchademics unite! From Anarchist Studies Network, presenting an opportunity to anarchist academics to attend a workshop. funding assistance for some travel, room, and some board. Quote, we hope to create a collaborative, supportive space for sharing ideas, building connections, and reflecting on different pathways for scholars in anarchism. Unquote. The deadline to get in expressions of interest, the form is included in this post, is 420. There will also be an ASN conference, which requires separate entry.
Exarchia, political life suffocated by state surveillance, from Unicorn Riot. This is a pretty detailed history of recent Greek repression, especially around Exarchia, and a brief report back about a street party in the square that didn't really get started because someone in the gentrifying neighborhood called the cops. The first-person account of the overwhelming daily presence of cops is especially chilling. Lots of nice photos and links for more information.
My Anarchism Problem, from Medium by Dwayne Roussel. A bulleted list of the things that are, quote, what it would take for anarchism to be relevant again, unquote. There are some controversial points here, but mostly, as the author acknowledges, quite brief, so fleshing out would be helpful. Capitalism as a logic of alternatives, people are alienated not in the world but from the world, get off the internet, more deep thinkers, etc. 12 points. Curious what your list of things would be. Some of the responses are the usual bloviating, but some are unusually on-point deep cuts. Ouch!
Interview of Anarchist Front, Iran, against all governments, against their war, from Anarchist Front in Iran. A brief contextualization of what is happening in Iran right now under a threatened Shah, and then an interview with an anarchist in Poland. The answers to the sometimes odd questions are patient and thoughtful. Quote, question. Where is the situation worse, Iran or Afghanistan? And has Afghanistan been forgotten? Answer. Both situations are catastrophic, but the forms of catastrophe are different and must be named accurately. In Iran today, people are facing at least three major challenges simultaneously: extreme poverty, widespread repression, and a devastating war. The intensity of the war in Iran is high. More than 1,500 civilians have been killed, including more than 200 children. The global internet has been down since February 28, 2026. People are simultaneously under bombardment, bullets, and economic collapse. In Afghanistan, people face at least five challenges simultaneously: extreme poverty, the mass expulsion of Afghan refugees from Iran and Pakistan, repression, a limited but ongoing conflict with Pakistan, and the complete exclusion of girls and women from education, work, and public life under the Taliban. The situation in Afghanistan has completely changed since the beginning of the Ukraine war, and international attention has been completely diverted. Afghanistan has entered a state of oblivion, abandoned by the same Western powers that created the condition for the Taliban's return, no longer useful as strategic news, and it has become invisible in the global media. Despite the ongoing tragedy for 40 million people living under one of the most totalitarian systems of gender apartheid in modern history, we reject this invisibility. Both situations require solidarity. Neither can be humanly superior to the other. But forgetting Afghanistan is itself a political act, and we call it that. Unquote. Worth reading for sure.
Launching the AZ Indie Media Coordination and Events site. From AZ Indie Media. An announcement from the Arizona Indie Media site that they are making some changes. Quote, the site was built to help with local coordination, whether in Arizona or on the moon or anywhere between. Social media has made finding groups, friends, and others tedious. Social and political events are almost impossible to keep track. So we are updating the old way with a new framework. You will notice that in the coming weeks, this project will become downloadable and usable by anyone. This is by design. Unquote. Following that paragraph are some details about what folks will now be able to do. No techies have commented with any concerns or kudos yet.
Marius Mason to be released to Halfway House on May 4th from Anarchist Black Cross Federation. Quote, political prisoner Marius Mason, known for his art, environmentalism, anarchism, and trans advocacy, among other things, is scheduled to be released from prison in May 2026 to a halfway house in Detroit. At this time, we don't know what restrictions will be in place, nor for how long. We recognize the many people who have advocated, supported, and worked towards this outcome. and we hope this transition is met with dignity, safety, and care for everyone involved. Unquote. Aside from a link for donations to his support fund, that's the announcement. See? Good news can happen.
Obituaries. Farewell to friend and companion Orpheus Protopsaltis, 1995 to 2026. From Proletarian Initiative, quote, we already miss his kindness and humor, his sweet smile and passion for knowledge, historical study and political analysis, his erudition and sharp wit, his organizational and militant spirit, but also his unwavering faith in the collective power of grassroots organization and unity in action, in the necessity of a frontal policy and the right of our common cause. Unquote.
Audio and video. Out here for them. Oh, I'm going to cry again. Great. Mm-hmm. Updates as Prairie Land Federal Trial ends from the Final Straw Radio. An hour and 8 minutes. Two very articulate folks from the support committee for the defendants go into some detail about some of the irregularities of the case, including the aggressive manipulations by the judge. Also some information about future directions that the legal team will take, and reinforcing the political motivations not just of the judge and the prosecution, but also of the jury. Bursts asks good questions and provides some helpful clarification, of course.
Hello, my name is Vic.
And my name is Madison.
And we are here inside of the first week of April, and we will do the topic of the week conversation.
About my anarchist problem. Well, not my anarchist problem, but the person who wrote the article's anarchist problem.
Something on the internet.
By Dwayne Russell? And so it's 12 points on how anarchy could be better. We're going to go through one by one and talk about them. The first is a complete detach from leftism and indeed from political discourse as such, i.e. a return to the tradition of Max Stirner, post-leftism, anti-politics, and nihilist communism anarchism. That's proposition one.
Proposition. What do you think? What do you think about that proposition? We're drinking peppermint tea, so prepare for slurping. Go ahead.
Should I slurp?
No, we're both... I already have slurped. You also did, but I'm just letting everyone know.
Okay.
So what do you think about the first proposition?
I can understand post-leftism, anti-politics. Yeah. But I guess I don't know what tradition he means of all of those things that are not the same thing. It's painting a picture, but it's like a picture of 2009 or 2010 anarchy.
I found out about those things later than that. But maybe that's when a bunch of them were being written, some of it.
No, well, like Monsieur DuPont wrote the nihilist communism thing, and like I don't know when he wrote it, but I read it in 2009, I think.
I never read it.
I couldn't tell you.
Well, I mean,
okay, but a complete detach from leftism.
Yeah, I like that. I personally like that.
And indeed from political discourse as such.
I'm pretty on board, yeah. Or what about you?
Okay, well, do you want to define leftism?
Oof. Shit. not, it's the thing that says it's not the right, and it's the other wing of the political discourse or battle or whatever for control of society. That's the alleged, I think that's maybe the self-definition of theirs, how I would define it is like, just the, an attempt at a more like egalitarian framing of capitalist civ ideology.
Yeah, so what's an example of post-leftism as you see it?
I mean, I just think post-leftism to me is just a critique of it's like somebody who's coming from the left usually having a self-criticism, like trying to move past their own leftist assumptions. Trying to, like...
Or it's probably trying to get out of politics, right? So if your definition is, like, you're the left wing of politics, then post-leftism means that, that you're anti-political.
I don't think... I wouldn't say that necessarily it is that. I think there's, like, examples of kind of factions or, like, political groupings that see themselves as critical of the left and aren't anti-political.
Like what?
I'm not saying these people are post-left, but, like, the third position is kind of, like, fascist people.
Are anti-political?
No, I'm saying they're not anti-political. But they're still, like, they have a critique of the left. They're not, maybe I'm, like, muddying the thing, but, I shouldn't be talking about them as part of the post-left conversation or something, but it's just to make, the point I'm trying to make is having a critique of the left doesn't mean you're anti-political. Or also, like, not being a right-wing person, but also having a critique of the left might mean you're just trying to do your own, some different political thing. And I would say the Tikkunis people are another example. I'm not at all trying to equate these things. I'm just, like, trying to give examples from different, like, areas, political areas.
But they would say they're leftists, no?
No, not all of them.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think a lot of them would actually say they're definitely not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next
point. I mean, the to that point, like, the stuff we were reading about Freddie Perlman today, talking about how there was the back and forth between him and, like, these people in the U.S. that were trying to become members of the SI, and that they were trying to get him to, like,
public... SI, Situationist International.
Yeah, these people were trying to join the Situationist International, and they were trying to, like, convince him that he needs to disavow the left entirely publicly, or whatever, is, like, the SI kind of trying to be anti-leftist or a critique of the left. And I think the Situationists are, like, one of the things that branched into. Or not the Situationists, the Tikkunis or whatever. Like, is one of the things that came after and is, like, similarly critical of the left, but is political, I would say.
I see, okay.
I would say they're entirely political. The framing of these things is, like, we should. It's all we should.
I don't think so.
This one like that?
I think this is that I think this could be. But a lot of them are, yeah, we. Anarchist we. Your favorite.
I try to hear that and hear the thing behind it being, like, just change it when I hear it into, I would really like it if. So when this person is saying we should, what they're really saying is they would really prefer a space in which people were doing things in this way. And then it, like, comes off as less offensive or authoritative, because I think that is actually mostly what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Is for them that would be preferable. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm being too nice. Also hard to take anyone that puts PhD after their name in that way, like feels the need to do that, is like just right away I feel ready to dismiss. But here we are.
But we're engaging with their list, so let's do it. Okay, 2. A rethinking of the affinity group. Less problematic group effects. It's not a fucking family or a substitute family, and it's not to be grounded on transference, whether horizontal or hierarchical. On this, we can learn from Jacques Lacan's Cartel. The cartel is a post-anarchist mode of social organization.
Well, do you have any initial? You made a face. What was that?
My face.
What do you think? Yeah, you made like a.
What do you think? I was thinking about how I haven't read Jacques Lacan's Cartel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I don't know how to comment on it, but I can talk about a rethinking of the affinity group.
Hmm. What about the family thing?
Well, I don't know. I wish these were a little more fleshed out. Because I'm like, what are you saying? Like, but what do you want instead? Kind of a thing. I guess a cartel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And? Well, do you have a response to that as a proposal? I guess I also haven't read this thing he's referencing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe. I mean, the thing it makes me think of is, like, maybe, like, a mafia-type structure or something, more, like, criminal-like structure. Which, if that's what he's saying, then I don't know. I'm not sure that the examples of that have existed are very anarchic or, like, lend themselves as, like, very exciting things mm-hmm. for me.
I think probably what he's saying is that when you rely on people you do illegal things with or organizing with or whatever, and you say that it's a family, or one says that it's a family, and then it's not to be grounded on transference, whether horizontal or hierarchical.
What is transference?
Transference is like when you substitute one thing for another. Like, my understanding is it's a therapeutic term, like in the therapy session, where like the patient would, like, transfer. It can happen both ways, I think, but from the therapist, they would, like, it's like projecting and projecting roles, usually, like.
Like, also in this case, it would be with the family, so like maybe someone's relationship in their family would be projected onto their affinity group or whatever.
Yeah, or like that it just becomes very complicated or heavy when it's multiple relationships all meshed in one. And like the affinity group model right now is like, this is your people. These are the people who know you. Like, you have to go deep with each other and do everything.
I wouldn't agree that that's the model. I think there's a lot.
Have you seen The East?
Yeah. Speaking of old things that, yeah.
Not that old.
It's not that old, but if we're going to say, like, that this is speaking to something from 2009, I don't know when The East was made, but it's probably around that time. Yeah, and that's an example of that. But I'm just saying, like, there's probably way more people now that say, that speak of some formation they're in as an affinity group, where actually it just means, like, that they maybe go to protest together once every few months and, like, maybe go to a meeting sometimes.
Well, I think that that's the problem, is that the affinity group can be anything from a cell, like a la direct action, or like the group, or people who go to a protest together.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot of wide variety of things that people mean when they say that.
Totally.
So that's why I'm confused about what he's saying, rethinking of the affinity group.
Yeah, I guess he is responding to it as a transference, now that we know what that word means, of, like, the family model.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is responding to the East.
Yeah, exactly.
And if people haven't seen that movie, end of sentence. But
learn how to feed others with spoons.
Yeah, that's the best part, actually. It is. I think.
It's a beautiful dance.
It kind of like, not to detract from what we're talking about, but that...
This could only add. Go ahead. Please continue.
I've noticed that in my life, people's response to that scene kind of determines for me a lot about them. Like, if I don't know someone well, and their, like, big cringe reaction to that scene, it, like, says a lot to me. And then the people that are like, that was pretty sweet, I end up... Anyway, I don't want to be too open about who I am on this, but I, anyway, it's a pivotal scene in my life, inside of a movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's responding to that model. I don't think that's the most prevalent one. I personally don't have a problem with the family transference, or whatever, like, kind of like, especially... for people that maybe don't have a family or something. Mm-hmm. And like, to create a kind of kinship type structure or something that they do risky things with, to me, mm-hmm. like, makes total sense. And it's obviously super complicated and can go very badly and be heartbreaking and everything. But that's like, true of any time we commit to other people, maybe. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. The alternative sometimes that I see is, like, people treating the group they do whatever anarchy things with as, like, something that, to me, resembles more a work relationship where they're not very close and they're just, like, they're like, oh, well, I need people that I can do things with or whatever. And they don't have very deep bonds. And, like, to me, that doesn't, that hasn't felt very good, generally. Usually. I mean, it's whatever. It really also depends highly on what you're doing, I think. Mm-hmm. Was that point one or two?
Two. We're now at three.
Oh, shit. What was the first one? The Nikon one?
Yeah.
Wait, can I see that one? Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to rewind. Yeah, I mean, the first one, I mostly agree with the sentiment or whatever, but it's like, to say that, like, oh, we should all do this, I'm like, I share that it's more fun for me to be around people that are more into post-left, kind of anti-political things. Maybe not the Nikon one, necessarily, but, like, more interested to talk to people that are into these things, but, like, I wouldn't say we should all do that or something, because a bunch of people don't want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever.
That's cool. You're a good anarchist.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm glad you did.
You let everybody know that you
I'm open to other. I'm not going to impose my favorite books on everyone. People can also have other favorite books, and that is
as long as they include your favorite books too.
I mean, unless they won't have problems.
Okay, three. Abandon post-anarchism. It has become stale. It was meant to bring back the surprise to anarchist thought and action. It was a short-lived intervention. Now it's just a lot of fancy words, too many Deleuze quotations, and a large boost to Todd May's career. Who's Todd May?
A very famous person with a highly successful career, it seems. That I've never heard of either.
Yeah. Feeling a little impotent on these points, whether I can agree with them or not, but that's okay. I agree with the too many Deleuze quotations.
Yeah. I'm not reading the things with the many Deleuze quotations, really. I feel like when I was reading Ill Will, sometimes those would come up.
Yes, they are delusional.
Nice. Wow, yeah, that's great.
You know, low-hanging fruit is still fruit that feeds you.
Yeah, no, I'm not encountering that so much. And the post-anarchist thing also, like, it really whizzed by or whatever.
What is it?
It was like I think it was just like a few people that wrote, kind of trying to formulate this like critique of anarchism. It was like a post-left thing is how I understand it. I could totally be wrong. I didn't engage with it that much, so maybe it's really good I'm recording it with my opinions here. But
well, but he's saying abandon it, so we can just agree that it probably wasn't that important.
Oh, so we can just move on.
We can just move on. Cool. Okay, four. Cool. Abolish the anarchist gatekeepers, those who push on the books from elite UK universities. We need a return to solid anarchist publishing. Existing anarchist presses are not cutting it. Too much about insiders and the right type of ideology. Bring back dangerous ideas.
This fool is having a totally different experience than me. I'm not... I, like, rarely am interacting with, British...
I'm gathering that he lives in UK.
Yeah, right. That seems right. But also, like... Yeah, I'm just not having that experience. I guess the thing that I'm noticing is, like, actually a lot of different people writing, like, a lot of zines coming out and essays and whatnot. Maybe not as much as I would like. Maybe the ideas aren't as dangerous as I would like, necessarily, but, like, it is happening. I'm not, like... I don't feel bombarded by some, like, academic gatekeeping people at all.
That's great.
But I'm also, like, very persistently avoiding social environments that, like, pride themselves on engaging with the academy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, yeah, whatever.
So you agree?
I agree. I mean...
Abolish... The gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers? I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I don't know.
Those who push out the books from elite UK universities. Yeah, you don't
want... Who's even doing that? I mean, I'm sure people are doing that, but, like, in my experience, I'm not, like... I'm not even reading anyone like that. I'm not getting a lot of gatekeeping where I'm at.
That's awesome.
Are you?
Your gates are open. No, I'm not paying attention enough. I don't feel limited.
To that stuff?
I don't feel limited.
Hmm. You're not paying attention, so you're not. So you don't feel limited.
My ostrich head is in sand.
I feel free as a
I'm
bird.
I'm doing great. Just looking right into the sand.
That's awesome. No, I don't feel like I'm doing what you're doing. but I still don't feel limited, really.
I'm not really doing that. I'm
yeah,
just
no,
teasing.
I know. I don't. Yeah, I don't think you are.
Thank you. This guy just needs to go to an anarchist book fair.
But maybe not in England.
Oh yeah, yeah. He needs to go to an anarchist book fair and see that there's like one new zine per year, maybe.
That's the thing, though, is the experience of going to an anarchist book fair is not... And, like, again, I think it's really probably different depending on where you are. But when I go to the local book fair, I'm like, whoa, like, it's kind of the same stuff. It's, like, pretty predictable a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get really excited, like, once in a while there's a table and it's, like, all new stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it seems like people kind of flock to that, even if they don't agree with the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, exciting that new people are doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say there's an abundance of that.
Mm-mm.
It's usually, like, one or two tables out of 40,000.
40,000. So like, I don't know what book fairs you're going to.
It fucking feels like 40,000. Jesus yeah. Christ.
Okay. Five. Mm. Do like the SI and dethrone those who hijack conferences with videos that my son did not agree to watch, i.e. videos about cutting male genitalia. I'm talking about you, Belfast. What does
I
that
have
mean?
No idea what that's talking about.
Me neither.
Wow,
we should have done a little preliminary. Or not.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
Well, this person that wrote this also was like really kind of like.
They said without editing.
Yeah, they just like did this real mm-hmm. quick, so it's yeah. not like they did any preparation. So okay. I feel like we're
in the spirit of that.
We're in okay. the spirit.
Yeah. I like the reframe. Very good. Dethrone those who hijack conferences. I would wait. Okay. I think the sentence is a little like it's like a double negative. Dethrone those who hijack conferences. So he's saying, the academics have hijacked the conference, so we kick them out by doing something wacky. Right?
Maybe.
Well, what did the Situationist International
I don't know. I don't know what he's referring to. Yeah.
Okay, well, one of the best... I like interruptions of business as usual, whether that's at an academic conference, at any meeting, mm-hmm. or book fair. So, I agree.
What is that called? Fuck, there's like a derogatory term for that.
There's a derogatory term for everything.
Wreckers.
Wreckers?
Yeah, have you heard that?
Uh-uh.
Like the people that often are the ones that are like really want everyone to sit quietly and listen to their long-winded theory mm-hmm. at the conference, and then like someone brings up some really maybe wing-nutty question or just some kind of, yeah, like disrupts the thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those people get eventually, or maybe right away, labeled as wreckers.
Or punishers.
Well, no, it's like the punisher is using the wrecker label to stop the intervention on their punishing.
I see.
You know what I mean?
And this is our Urban Dictionary podcast on
Well, I mean, no one should accept this as a guy. I barely know what I'm saying. I brought that up and it was like, because it came up, this whole wrecker thing. I was like part of some thing where people were talking about it, and really what they were talking about is they want really an orderly environment where everyone listens to what they have to say.
I see.
And follows their kind of plan for the gathering, mm-hmm. and that someone comes in and they're crazy or whatever and says some weird shit and they kind of wreck their entire plan. And I was talking to my friend about this, and she was like, well, some stuff really needs to get wrecked, actually. And I think that's something to ponder,
mm-hmm.
especially for the punishers.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, I think, is what yeah. I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 6. We need a resurgence of big thinkers, not those who repeat boring historical anarchist doctrine and slogans. Alejandro de Acosta, Aragorn, Anarchy, a Journal of Desire Armed, Monsieur DuPont, Wolfie. We need to embrace anarchist theory and stop the American ideological indoctrination of global anarchisms and the British rejection of French thought.
Well, the British thing is entirely irrelevant, but I would say that, like... it's really hard to hear the thing about, like, labeling Aragorn specifically as, like, a big, big thinkers or yeah. whatever? Is that what the category is? Like, to, what I've read from Aragorn and listened to in the recordings that I've listened to, he is, like, really against this kind of, like, big man of theory, whatever thing. And someone could say, like, oh yeah, he made contributions and was like so associated with like certain critiques or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and so he, maybe you could accuse him of that in a way, but like I think
it's so funny that you're thinking that this is an accusation.
I am like, yeah,
I think it's a compliment.
I
think it's meant to be a compliment.
Yeah, then if I'm, I really, like, from an, I don't know, it feels hard. It's, like, hard to hear. Like, but, someone saying that we should, okay, first of all, the author totally slid from speaking from experience to making everything we should statements at this point. Like, as the numbers get larger, it's just, like, more explicitly that. But yeah, it's hard to hear. Like, I think that, you know, to me, anarchy is different from other theories in that there isn't an embrace of, like, big men of theory or whatever that are, like, worshipped. And my engagement with Aragorn specifically was that that's what it seemed to me, that's what he also thought, and actively tried to, like, not become that.
But a big thinker doesn't mean a famous thinker. It doesn't mean a celebrated thinker, even. It just means someone who's thinking outside and different than the way that the staleness of like whatever theory from like libertarian thought theory or something, you know. That's how I'm interpreting this.
I think that sure. The problem with that for me is that, like, associating a critique or kind of group of ideas with one person allows further this thing to happen where now this person's kind of the authority on that thing, you know, or on that group of ideas. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I mean, all the people the author listed are, like, associated with the post-left or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they are kind of like, you could make the case that they're the authoritative voices in that body of ideas. And I think, like, if the thing is meant to engage with anarchy, ideally those ideas and kind of their refreshing is done in a more dispersed way than that. That it's not just like some guy sitting around thinking or whatever and writing his theories down, as what happens with ideologies, but it's like happening in conversation between people. And it's really hard to pinpoint like where things are coming from, because it's like kind of constantly being reimagined. And it's like a living thing, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how I like. And I do think that Aragorn was trying to do that.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like hard to hear him be mentioned, like, in that category, you know. The other people I have less experience. I mean, I guess Green Anarchy magazine was Green. No. Oh, okay. Ajota was mentioned specifically. Mm-hmm. I have less like experience with Ajota, but I guess Green Anarchy magazine to me would be a better, like, is something I would aspire to more, even though maybe I disagree with the ideas. Whatever, even though I disagree with the ideas sometimes, like the way the what Green Anarchy magazine came to represent developed happened in conversation. Like, it was like a lot of people, it was a lot of different people submitting stuff and kind of in conversation with each other from issue to issue. Mm-hmm. And so there didn't become this like central figures necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there still did, just to an extent, but I think they just in the structure of the thing were kind of dispersing that. And Black Seed also to me like did that to an extent. I think it's a super worthwhile effort. And what this person is saying is like we should embrace the kind of centralized like theory. That's how I hear it. It's like let's like people need to come out as individual and like stake their claim or whatever to specific ideas and like make sure those ideas are provocative and dangerous and like kind of like defend your position or whatever, be like associated with your shit. And I'm like, sure, yeah, be confident in your ideas, but I guess, yeah, I don't know, I don't want anarchy to be a thing where it's like, here's the guy that's the fucking whatever guy, and there's the guy that's the other guy, and they're kind of just like, that's really gatekeepy to me, you know?
Hmm. Well,
but you hear it differently, it seems like.
Well, I understand what you're saying about because they says big thinkers, but I just am interpreting it, and I could be wrong, because again, like, this person said that they wrote this really quickly without editing, and so, whatever. It's hard to know, but I just hear it as like people who are thinking outside of the box and like pushing the conversation more in the way that this person wants it to be, which is outside of like anarcho-communism or something like that. Hmm. Or like workerism or whatever. Like the people that he's naming and the journals and stuff that he's naming are about like experiential anarchy, basically, like how you live your life, what kinds of experiments you can do. And, you know, he says, we need a resurgence of big thinkers, not those who repeat boring historical anarchist doctrine and slogans. And so when I see this, I am thinking about a type of thought that encourages experimentation. Not that we need prophets.
Mm.
And I feel like you're saying it, you're hearing it, like big thinkers means prophets, and I would agree that that's not what I want. But I think I just interpreted the statement to be that there's a way that all the ideas are being recycled, and that this person was inspired when these people made him think about something in a different way than the other, like, recycled Renaissance thought or whatever.
The way I would reframe that, like, having heard you say that, is the way I would reframe it in a way that I would agree with, is that I would say that I would like more people in my life that are challenging themselves and the people around them more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a kind of, like, in the service of creating more depth.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's different from having, yeah, like you said, prophets, which is, I think, totally, like, is how I'm encountering that, the way this person is saying it. And, like, canonizing, like, a, you know, like creating a canon or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, totally. But I just... Which I guess, whatever, this person is a PhD person, so it makes sense that they're talking like this. But, like, to me, I'm just like, all right, bro, like, go find, like, go make these kinds of relationships in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be surround, you can probably find people that are doing these things, but they're maybe not, like, publishing it or whatever. But, like, you can have these types of friend groups.
What if you engaged with these, just as a thought experiment, if you just, rather than as the person who wrote the thing, we just engage with it like a statement that could be made by anyone.
So take it out of context.
Sure. Yeah. I think it'll, because I don't know this person. Right. I don't want to actually hypothesize about it. So just, and I think it'll be more fun because.
Hmm. Well, we can try. I can maybe, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Let's do one of those.
Okay. We need new modes of social movement. The existing practices are either tired or antithetical to the world that is possible. Who wants to live in a world that has exchanged the fight against masters with the expulsion of anyone who threatens the consistency of the group? I think that this is a critique of cancel culture.
Mm.
And, like, not being able to say something that, like, shakes up the like, school of thought.
This just is totally, I can't even do it for one thing.
That's okay.
I'm gonna, yeah, I guess it's not fun for me. I just hear this and I'm like, okay, so this is, like, an academic that's also an activist and is, like, really frustrated by the environment they're in. And they're like, fuck, like, I want to have a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're framing all of it like we should. Where, like, actually, I'm not having this experience. And a lot of the people around me aren't either. I wouldn't say cancel culture is, like, prevalent in my life as the way people are relating to each other. Like, within the group of people I'm actually friends with.
But, say, okay, so, sure, you're responding to me saying that it's cancel culture. But also, like, having anybody who's different. I'm in your midst.
Mm.
I think it's also a critique of, like anybody stepping out of line or, like, not having having too much homogeneity in the friend, in the, like.
Hmm. So what do you, so you're saying he, Well, I would... Yeah, I mean, I hope to be, or I try to be, encouraging of people to, like, say the different thing that maybe is, like, different from what's acceptable in their environment, you know? I don't really, like, I think homogeneity can really only exist through force. And so, like, if people worry that there's going to be negative consequences to stepping out of line, they won't speak up or whatever. But I think the whole thing, because of that, to me, the whole thing is kind of an illusion. Like, if you create an environment which people feel like it's safe and encouraged for them to say their thing, and maybe even if they say something that upsets somebody or something that's like okay and can be talked about, then it will become quickly apparent that actually everyone is different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like not something, yeah. It's not something that needs to be like, to me, it's not necessarily something that needs to be created. I don't know. I don't feel the need to, like, go out looking for different people to make sure that my social environment is, like, diverse enough or something. I feel like just creating an environment in which people are welcome to be themselves, like, illuminates the fact that people are different.
Mm-hmm.
And that it sometimes appears in some social settings as if people are all the same, but that's because there's, like, repercussions for...
I think you're agreeing different with this person on this point.
Yeah. I would just say that. Yeah, mostly. I think he's saying a different way of going about it, maybe.
Sure.
But yeah. I mean, there is like a thing that should be said, maybe about like being welcoming to people of different experience or something too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That there is a real difference in that,
mm-hmm,
between people.
Mm-hmm. Move on?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Unless, do you have things? More things?
I guess I interpreted it a little bit like, well, it's a pretty vague statement, so... there are different ways to interpret it, but I think about, like, how there are certain patterns to, like, anarchist, like, it's like there's an info shop, or you find it through music, or you find it through zines, mm-hmm, or you, whatever. And that can feel, like, rigid. And that maybe one of the things that I personally romanticize about, like, anarchisms of the past is that there was, like, a lot of different types of people with different hobbies who were, like, I don't know, like, I think about the modern school kind of thing where there's, like, plays and you're always talking and arguing and, like, you know, and that's a, I don't think that, I have no problem with the way that social movement happens in terms of shows and zines and whatever, but I think it would be fun if there were other avenues for that as well.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know how much I can say with any confidence, because it does seem like it's different in different places.
Well, yeah, totally. And remember, I don't know, there's, like, a certain type of social anarchy person who's like, we just need to have barbecues. If we have barbecues, people will know that anarchists like barbecues.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just be friendly
barbecue
guys.
Yeah.
And then they'll see that we're nice and that they want to be anarchists. Like, it becomes, like, this kind of, like, proselytizing,
totally,
fresh,
we're just
friendly,
like,
face.
We're just like you,
and that's not what I'm talking about at all. And I don't know if that's what this guy is talking about. I don't think so.
Nothing,
it doesn't seem like,
yeah,
it, like, there's no recruitment happening in his provocations. But I think having different ways that we can experiment is something that I value for myself. Like, not, or like, or trying the same thing in a different way or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, people should do that if they want, you know?
We should all do that.
But the way this person frames it, it's just like...
Yes,
you don't like it. It's like a classic... Again, I can't divorce what I'm reading or you're reading from the person that wrote it and my assumptions about them. But, like, it to me feels like a really classic, like, academic
But lens. Can't you divorce the things that people write from who they are? Don't you like things that people write from who they are? Like, you choose when you do that and when you don't do that.
Yes.
Okay. So,
or the intensity with which what I know about them affects the thing that they're saying, or when I feel like it's such, to me, feels so clear that what they're saying or the way they're saying it is a reflection of their context that I like can't divorce it or something. Mm. And in this case, like, I've experienced so many academics making their point in we should statements where really what they're talking about is like the thing between the lines is like things missing from their life actually as individuals, but they frame everything in we should, and the we they're talking about is like thousands and maybe millions of people. And what I'm responding to is like we're the provocation is trying to get you to engage with the what's being written on the terms of the piece that like assumes that like yes, what this person is describing, the deficiencies this person is describing are kind of generally true, and I don't think that's true, and that like there is even a thing that we, meaning all anarchists I guess, should be doing or considering. And I also don't think that's true. Like, it's just easier for me to hear. And again, like, it in my experience, tends to be academics that speak like this.
I don't deny that academics sometimes speak like this, but I feel like lots of people speak like this.
Totally.
So, it's okay if it's annoying. But
it's how you try to make yourself sound smart.
I should have told you that this was written by a non-academic and see how what kind of commentary you found. Like, oh, good idea.
found in a crunchy Ziploc bag in a desert yard bush.
Yep. Scribblings in a notebook. My anarchist problem.
Inside of a toilet squat.
You would have been like, oh, yeah.
No, I don't.
We do need a new social movement. We got to get on that train. And tap it.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
but that's, I like that. I like to imagine, yeah, that.
Okay. 8. Anarchism requires a place for subjective transformation. This will not happen on the streets. We need to interrogate how subjective transformation is possible and not simply how we can rearrange the chairs on the front lawn while the greasy dude in the living room keeps farting and burping. Sounds like you understand that one better. Can you explain